Before I start, I would like to wish my bride of 46 years a happy anniversary. I don't know if you know what you were doing 46 years ago, but I know exactly what I was doing. It was an overcast day, cooler than today. Looked like rain, but it didn't rain on us. But it's been raining on us since, for 46 years. So, today I'm going to look at a familiar scripture, one that isn't very long but says a lot. And over the last few years, the idea of justice has taken center stage in America. There have been numerous rallies and calls for justice all over the nation. One that I can't make is this November is International IFA. Why do I get that mixed up all the time? No. In Washington. Intercessors for America. They have a 50-year meeting where they've been actually formed and praying for this nation for 50 years. Would like to be able to make that, but we cannot. But from time to time, you may even have heard a verse scripture from the book of Micah as a rallying point. So I want to start today by reading Micah 6:8. Very familiar, hopefully. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. I think it says man up there. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Now, there are the times when the Bible challenges us, corrects us, and even rebukes us. This verse does all three. I don't know how often you think about the Lord, what he requires from you, but he provides an answer here in Micah, which one Bible scholar said sums up the Old Testament law in one verse. But what does it mean to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Quite honestly, this verse demands our attention as Christians. As the very fiber of our society has reached a critical tipping point, how do you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, live out this verse in our lives every day, especially if we want to represent Christ well on the earth? You know, I think we often forget that. As soon as we open our mouth and give our testimony or call ourselves Christians, people are watching us, and we are representers. We represent Christ and the kingdom. And so that's every day we represent Christ as followers. So what is this verse actually saying? It says, to begin with, it helps to understand what Micah 6:8 means. One thing that is clear and true about this verse is the language. God is literally saying, I have shown you what is good to do. So this leaves no room for conjecture or excuses. You know, ignorance is not an excuse. It may be a reason why we do something, but it does not excuse us from it, because we have the ability to read God's word. However, the real challenges of this verse lies in what it says after that. The instruction is to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I challenge you today to take a moment and meditate on what this verse means. When you let the truth of this verse sink into your heart, you'll see this is no casual command. So let's break it down and see what each of these things mean. To act justly means you'll do what is morally right or fair. This is not just something you talk about, because it goes beyond mere words. This is also not something you can only require of others. Isn't it easier to do that? It's easier to talk a good talk and require others to act more responsibly than ourselves. To act justly is something you must commit to doing yourself. The challenge is this, is committing to doing what is morally right and fair in every circumstance, even when it's not popular. While many may say yes with their mouth to this, I think we have seen the actions don't always follow. And that's the problem with the persona of the church. Too many people have been turned off by what they thought was hypocrisy. To love mercy implies a joint loyalty and faithfulness to the love of God, which is demonstrated in a commitment to love others. The word mercy is from the Hebrew word hesed, which implies a loyal commitment that flows out of love. This is what motivates God's faithfulness to you and should be the reason you're faithful to him. One way this is demonstrated is how you love others. To walk humbly is to walk carefully before God, being mindful of how you live before him. The one who walks humbly with the Lord does so modestly and without arrogance. And I'd like to add, lives thankful with thankfulness in their lives. When you sum up this verse, it's a call to an active faith that is lived out with actions and interactions with others, and not just with words. Here's how one Bible commentator, Kenneth Barker, summed up this verse. Thus, this saying is not an invitation in lieu of the gospel to save oneself by kindly acts of equity and fairness. It was instead a call for the natural consequence of truly forgiven men and women to demonstrate the reality of their faith by living it out in the marketplace. Such living would be accompanied with acts and deeds of mercy, justice, and giving of oneself for the orphan, the widow, and the poor. In Micah 6, God is speaking and he's making a case against the people of Israel. The question he asks them is found in verse 3. He says, "My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me." That's not a conversation I want to have with God. God then proceeds to remind them of what he's done and how he's redeemed them from slavery in Egypt. In consideration of all the righteous acts the Lord has done on their behalf, how should the people of Israel respond? God disqualifies focusing on religious activities, and here's how it reads in Micah 6:6-7. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? So what does God say to these questions? The answer is Micah 6:8, to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. So as Christians, it's very easy to get drawn into religious demonstrations and think that these are the things God desires and what pleases him. What you discover is that God is not after people who look the part. He wants people that are the part. And this goes beyond outward symbols of faithfulness or allegiance. What God wants is genuine faith, which is demonstrated by your commitment to morality and fairness, being fully conscious and focused on the way you love others, and being dedicated to walking humbly with Him. These things matter because they are the markers of those who are truly committed to Him. It's very similar to what Jesus said in John 13 about how the world will identify those who belong to Him. John 13, 34 and 35 says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So what does the Lord require? I know it would probably be easier for some of us to swallow what does the Lord desire rather than require. But the writer wrote the words require. One of the main reasons the Lord requires this of us is because we represent Him on the earth. Jesus calls us the light of the world and the salt of the earth, which means the world is watching those who bear His name. Looking again at this verse, Micah 6:8, my question to you is, what image of Christ is your life painting? When we act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God, we create a picture of Jesus that people want to learn more about. It doesn't mean they're going to accept Him, but at least they're usually willing to listen to you. When we don't do these things, we create a picture of Jesus that people want nothing to do with, and we shut the door to people hearing anything we have to say. You know the old saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. It is very hard to build trust, but it is very easy to lose it. What does it look like for us to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God? There are many ways this can play out in your life. But to do these things, I want to go back to an old saying that was popular years ago. That is, what would Jesus do? Remember those bracelets? Everyone was wearing one of those WWJD bracelets. I had one, but it was too loose, so I didn't wear it. This command in Micah 6:8 lines up perfectly with what Jesus would do. And we should be applying this truth in every aspect of our lives. For example, how would Jesus respond to the neighbor who is not hospitable? You know, I thought about this and I thought, what if I'm the neighbor that's not hospitable? That's even worse. Or how would Jesus treat someone who has a different political or religious worldview? Well, we know how social media responds. They chastise you, block you, unfriend you, call you names. But that's not how we are to respond. How would Jesus react to social issues that are prevalent today, such as issues of race, discrimination, economic challenges, and immigration? You know, I looked at that one because that's probably the most controversial to me. And you have two extremes. You have one side that wants legal immigration, leaving up to 800,000 to 1 million people come in legally every year, which I find pretty responsible. But that is seen as heartless from the left. And then you have people that think that just anybody can come in, whether they're vetted or not. And that's reckless. So you have heartless or reckless. And I want to be in the right spot. And that is allowing people to come in, but you have to vet them so you know who's in your country. because of what happened on 9/11. And then how would Jesus respond to the child in your church who has autism and can't sit still in the service, but they get funny looks from people around them? So as you can see, these things are not always easy to address. To live out this command means that there will be times you may have to go against the grain. Yet this is exactly what God is calling us to do. The commands in this verse call you to look and act differently than the rest of the world. God has told us what is good to do. We have to take up the mantle and be willing to do it, and recognizing it may cost us something. You know, the best gift you can give usually costs you something. It's easy to give away stuff you get for free, you know. Regifting. I think we've all done it. I know I have. But it's a white elephant, so it's allowed. But it means more if it's something that costs you something, whether it's your time, your hard work, your money. When you give something away that costs you something, there's more meaning to it. So what does your character display? I guess it's trying to tie these three things up together. To be just is to be fair in all you do. To act justly means to be honest and tell the truth. It means you treat every person equally. You hold them to the same standard and not to apply a different system of fairness to one person versus another. You know, we can do that real easy. Well, I like so-and-so better, so I'll cut them some more slack. Well, we need to hold everybody to the same standard and love them the same. This means you'll do what is morally right even when it is not socially popular. Again, I think we've all learned a lot from social media these last 5 years. To love mercy means you will respond in a situation the way God would. You will uphold his standard in the earth and view every situation through those lens. It means you will love people the way he loves them and care for people the way he cares for them, especially those who are less fortunate. And to walk humbly with God means you're not only careful about your walk, but you recognize your position, that it's a result of God's grace and nothing else. You know, it's really easy to get haughty when you're elevated in positions, workplaces, your finances are all going right. It's real easy to forget about why you're there in that position. And it's because of the grace of God and nothing else. You can try to take credit for it, but I wouldn't do it. Your walk with God should cause you to increase in humility, not become full of arrogance. You know, I wrote this question: am I the same I was 5 years ago or 10 years ago? Or when I first met Christ? Or has my love for Christ caused me to love more? I hope that's your answer. When you add it all up, this verse is about our character. One of the ways character is displayed is how we treat people who disagree with us, and how we treat people who can give us nothing in return. This is my last scripture for today. Matthew 5, 43 through 46. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? So in Matthew, Jesus talks about how easy it is to love those who love you back. But that does not display character or fruit in our lives. How do you love those who choose not to love you back, or where there is no personal benefit from loving them? When you can do these things, you are fulfilling the challenge to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. This is what God has shown us. So now let's go and do it. Let's do it. So I want to close today by encouraging some prayer time. Maybe leave your table, go to someplace else, or pray with someone other than your spouse. But find out one area, or define one area in your life that is difficult to show love, or to live love, I call it. What is one area that is tough for you to love? And then pray for one another about it. I already wrote my answer down. It's bad drivers. I get very upset when I see bad drivers. And then God humbled me the other day because I cut somebody off. And I became the bad driver, and this guy was really upset. His whole body was shaking. I could see his hand moving. He honked his horn rather long. And I thought, where in the world did he come from? Accidents happen. Things happen. So Lord, we ask for you to search our heart right now. Search our heart and just expose one thing to us that is difficult for us to show love in, that is difficult for us to live love. And let us pray for one another as we talk about these issues in our lives. So we thank you and we praise you, Father. We ask you to have your way today. We thank you for being in our presence, for doing what you do every day and every week in our lives. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, in every circumstance that we face, in every area of our lives. Help us to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.